Z, I was a little worried about you when I sounded like you got swallowed up by an avalanche of pots and pans during the break there. Was everything okay? All I heard was a bunch of crashing and smashing.
I was looking for this particular pot because I'm doing my meal preps. And when I put the dishes away, I forgot I put the baking sheet underneath a whole bunch of other things. And I needed to bake my sweet potatoes for the week. So that's the clanging that you heard, my friend. I'm on a mission, Travis. Operation Bring Sexy Back. I gotta get it back, man.
Well, yeah. I hope that you're successful in your mission. I hope it all works out for you. We had talked about it earlier. It's just nice that we have some options. And tonight we have some options as well. Dodgers and the Padres, and the Lakers are back at it. Like Ireland mentioned a minute ago, this is a busy week for the Lakers. They play tonight, then they play Wednesday and Thursday back-to-back, then they play Saturday again. So we're going to get a really good look at exactly what it is that they're going to try to do once they get into that playoff run, because this is the last week of tune-up basketball. I know that they count, but I would imagine that the Lakers and most teams that aren't fighting for position are using this to kind of evaluate exactly where they are. And tonight's a good chance to evaluate because Utah's a pretty good team.
Yeah, Utah's definitely a pretty good team. They are very strange in the sense that, you know, their star center, Rudy Gobert, is, you know, essentially the reason why sports stopped. And, you know, it's very interesting that he ended up being the one to score the first points of the restart, but then the final points of a winning game. They're weird. Mm-hmm. They're just weird because they have a dynamic score in both Jordan Clarkson as well as Donovan Mitchell. They have a great anchor and center with Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert. But for some reason, they don't feel real. And I don't know, maybe this is an opportunity for them to make real, if you will. I don't know if this is the opportunity for them to announce themselves. But correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels as if people think Dallas is a much more of a shot to shock anyone than the Utah Jazz, despite the Utah Jazz, in my opinion, being the more talented team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel real for some reason.
Yeah, you know, I think it goes back to what we were talking about, right? It goes back to that maybe by Christmas, certainly by Valentine's Day, I think we were looking at the Western Conference and saying, oh, this is Lakers and Clippers. It's inevitable that we're going to get there. And so you just kind of checked out that Dallas is a good team. Utah's a good team. Houston was kind of trying to figure out exactly what they were going to do. But it just felt like the Clippers and the Lakers were going to be the two last men standing in the Western Conference. And right now, whether it's Utah or Denver, Dallas, like you mentioned, and then certainly Houston, it does feel like it's opened up a little bit, because as I watch these games, and maybe tonight will feel a little different because we're a little further into it, but it just feels to me like the Lakers, I'm not talking about any teams other than the Lakers right now, but when I watch them play, this feels more like let me feel what this is exactly. Let me see if this piece is J.R. Smith a better piece than Deion Waiters. Is KCP in the starting lineup better than bringing KCP off the bench? That they're kind of testing the water here a little bit. The sense of urgency that I fully expect to kick in by the time that the playoffs start, at least for me with the Lakers, has not happened so far.
No, it hasn't. And again, I go back to this matchup against the Utah Jazz, is that I don't know if they're real. So I don't know if the win is going to be real.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I want to see some things happen. The offense gets back going, the defense stays there, blah, 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 blah. But when they beat the Jazz, I don't know if we're going to learn anything about either squad. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to take from that. Because despite being very talented, they don't feel real being Utah. So you can't say, oh, my God, you know, we beat Utah the same way that if we were to beat the Bucks. Like, they're not in that conversation. They're not the Clippers either. But at the same time, there's something. And because we've had this loss, we need a taste of victory again. So I guess it's just a matter of taking what you can get. It's just, I don't know. This is a weird game for me, Travis. It's a weird game.
They're all weird. I mean, and that's the point, is that
the Clippers didn't feel weird to me. The Clippers felt like we got some information. And Toronto felt like we got some information. I don't know.
Going
to get any information from this Utah game, despite Utah being a good team.
I just it, it even the Clipper game, it felt like the beginning of a season. It felt so much like that first game of the season when they played against each other, and the Clippers won that one. And it just, it was kind of a, okay, we're just getting started. We're just, there's rust, there's rhythm, there's all of these things. Like, I do think that there are exceptions. I, for instance, I don't think LeBron James needs to knock off rust. I don't think there's been rust on that dude in, you know, 20 years. I just don't think that he lets himself get to that point. But most of these guys have to kind of ease back into it. That's what it felt like. Oh, hopefully tonight there is a little bit more of a sense of urgency, because I hear what you're saying about Utah and not quite knowing what they are. What they are is they're a playoff team. You know, they're a team that's going to be playing probably a very difficult first-round matchup against Houston or Denver or OKC or somebody. They're all kind of bunched together in the middle right there. So they have a whole bunch to play for tonight. Maybe it'll feel a little different. But unless something goes really haywire over these last six games for the Lakers, this feels a lot like me, or a lot to me, I should say, like preseason basketball. I know it's not, and I know that I'm sure the players are trying to bring some sense of urgency and some sense of normalcy in regular season, but I just haven't felt it yet. Not from the Lakers.
No, I haven't felt the urgency, but I have felt like I've seen the struggle to reassert its place where it was when the game stopped. It felt like, even though we ended the season, you know, losing to the Nets and some weird, strange collection of events that culminated with, I believe, AD missing a corner three to win the game. But we're talking about the Bucks and the Clippers wins and just what this team was feeling like and where the momentum was going. And it all just felt inevitable, like the Lakers were marching towards a championship. And it feels as if they're just trying to, once again, rediscover that energy, rediscover that that magic that they had when we were in March and we had those big wins. And that's what I feel. Like, they're just trying to get that back.
They need to get it back before the first round, because if Portland is that team in the AC, you know that they're going to have it. You know that Dame Lillard is going to be that guy. They're 30-38, but they are the most – what's the word? That's the most misguided record you're ever going to see about a team that you don't want to play, because Lillard missed so much time. Well, he's not going to miss this. Right. I would be really surprised if they don't end up being that eight-seeded team, because you look at who's left. You've got Memphis, San Antonio, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and Phoenix. Portland is clearly the best team in that bunch. That if Portland had their guys, if they had Lillard throughout the most of the season, they're not looking at the eighth seed. They're right smack in the middle with Denver, Houston, Utah, OKC, Dallas, the rest of those teams. They're in that 40, 45 win total the way that you would expect them to be. And to get that group in the first round for the Lakers potentially, you don't want to try to, okay, now the playoffs have started. Now the regular season is over, the preseason, however you want to characterize these eight games. If it's Memphis, you could kind of ease into that spot. But with Portland, you better be ready to go from that very first game.
I mean, I know that Dame has all the focus, and that's, you know, true. He's the all-star, and he's the guy who can just gut you. But it's really getting Nurkic back healthy that has really been the difference. He's been balling, 24-9-5 on 55% shooting. In the two games so far is Nurkic. You don't want to have to deal with that if you can avoid it. You don't want to have to deal with him and Dame in a two-man game if you can avoid it. Because Dame is hitting half-court three-pointers, man. Dame is hitting half-court, and not just on occasion. He hit three of them yesterday, dog.
It's kind of his shot now.
It's kind of his shot. And then you got, you know, CJ, who's extending his range to three-point, but we know he's as deadly as a mid-range shooter as anyone in the league. And now Nurkic is healthy again and is balling.
And their experience.
He's balling.
Yeah.
And their experience.
I don't know if people understand. They went to the Western Conference Finals last year. They're a good team. This is not just they're on the up and come and they're going to be pretty good. And, you know, keep your eyes on these guys for the future. No. They're already here. They've been stymied because the Warriors have been as good as they've been for such a long time. But they got to the conference finals last year against the Warriors. I know I'm going by memory here. I think they got swept, but I want to say two or three of those games came down to the last couple of possessions, this is a team that's going to be not the least bit intimidated by going up against LeBron and AD. They've been through this before.
Yes, they've been through this. The pieces that they've added with Carmelo has been through this. When you look at some of the young players that are developing, like Zach Collins, as well as Gary Trent Jr., which is awesome because I actually covered his father, Gary Trent.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like college. That. LZ, I got to tell you, I do not like that I am now talking and covering guys where I talked and covered their fathers 20 years ago. Dude, I don't like that at all.
Dude, I'm watching the game, and I said some words I can't repeat right now, but I just know that I was like real ghetto and gully when I was talking to myself when I was smoking and watching Gary Trent Jr. ball. Because I remember covering his father when I was in college, and his father was in college, and I was in charge of the basketball beat. His dad, when he was called Shaq and a Mac, he was legit. He was legit. So I'm watching his son ball out and hitting from three, and I'm like, different player, but still that same sort of moxie. And so it just kind of made me smile. But he's been balling since we've gotten too.
He's got
21, and he's gotten 17 points coming in off the bench, backing up CJ.
Have you had this?
This
experience?
Is a legit squad, man.
When you're watching these games, you'll hear a name like Trent, and you're like, "Wait, he's still playing?" And you're like, "Oh no, that's the kid." That's happened to me a few different times. Like, wait a second, such and such is still no. That's the son. Like Fernando Tatis is still Dante Bichette. No, different guy, different. That's Bo.
No, different.
That's Biggio's kid. It's a drag. It is a serious drag. So. Are we a four-horse race now? Are we a five-horse race? We got the Lakers. You got the Clippers. You got the Bucks. Toronto very clearly deserves to be in there. They're the fourth team. Do you throw Houston in there? Do you put the Celtics? Do you put the 76ers? Or are we just up to four?
I think the idea that there's a favorite is stupid at this point. It's stupid at this point because until we can figure out which teams are in their rhythm and which teams are still struggling, we're not going to really know. Would you really be surprised if Portland came out of the West?
Yes, because they're going to play the Lakers. They're going to play the Lakers in the first round. I'd be really surprised if they beat the Lakers in a seven-game series. I think they'll give them a hard time. I think it'll be a good series.
Why would you be surprised if a team finds a way to beat the number one seed, just keeps it going? That's
well,
my point.
Because it's the first step that I think is incredibly likely. The eighth seed doesn't beat what's happened twice in the history of the league. It doesn't happen.
But to your point, this isn't an eighth seed team. This was a team that was devastated by injuries, but this isn't an eighth seed team. If Nurkic and Dame Lillard are healthy for the entire first part of the season up until March, chances are they're at worst the number three seed in the West. And that's what you got to be thinking about. Like, this isn't an eighth seed. They just happened to be there because of injuries and likely would have not made the playoffs had it not been for the Rona. But because of the Rona, you got a healthy Nurkic, you got a healthy Zach Collins, and you have an eager Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. And now this Gary Trent Jr. kid is coming off the bench now and saying, you don't get to relax.
I'll tell you who feels a lot not dangerous, undangerous, anti-dangerous, whatever it is New Orleans. Remember, hey, look, if Zion can get going, oh my goodness, dude, they look dreadful. You know what they are? They're still terribly immature and inexperienced because they look like a team that's been off for 4 months. They look like a team that went into that bubble with kind of a, hey, let's just get this over with, not a, hey, let's get hot and take care of business. They've looked absolutely dreadful in that hole. I watched some of that Clipper game that they had the other day. That looked like a team that the Lakers took to the hoop to get Anthony. I mean, Anthony Davis is the best player in that deal, duh. But you figured if you give away this many guys, they're going to get some pieces. It just did not look like it at all. Those guys are just not competitive the way that you need to be a playoff basketball team. They gave in easy.
You can't have that many guys play that many minutes and be that limited.
Yeah.
Like they're depending upon guys who are good pieces to be more than just a good piece. Lonzo's a good piece. I know we trashed him because of his shooting, blah, blah, blah. He's a good piece, but he's not the dude to carry a squad. Brandon Ingram is a good piece. Clearly, he's not the dude to be carrying a squad. Zion Williamson is a good piece. At 15 minutes, he doesn't play long enough to carry a squad. Jrue Holiday, you know, is a good piece. He can't. So when you have that many guys who can't carry the load, who are just nice pieces, you end up with a jigsaw puzzle with a whole bunch of pieces missing, so you can't ever get a full picture anyway.
All that's what they are. The Pac-12 football players have come together and said, this is what we want, or we're not going to play. We'll tell you some of their demands and whether or not they're going to get it. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So what's it been? It's been almost 3 hours since we did the first snake draft of the week. Raj, how am I doing? Am I getting killed again?
No, Travis, you're doing all right. I mean, your bad attitude took a break, so people have forgotten about it, and you are winning the poll.
What?
By you got 54% of the vote. Of course, you can go to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed and vote on who drafted the best animated film. So you had a strong pick there. Despite going with the GOAT, what LZ did with the Lion King, you still had a strong roster, and so far the public agree with you.
I considered the Lion King.
Dynasty.
That's right.
I considered the Lion King. Great movie, but a Toy Story just kind of, I don't know. I a personal preference, and it's also on the short list of greatest animated films of all time. I liked my number one pick.
I think all my picks won Oscars.
Like my did they really?
Were loved by,
okay, well, Siskel and Ebert aren't picking. They aren't judging. The people are picking. They don't care about your Oscars.
I'm just saying, my friend, that I don't Siskel think and I Ebert? Picked.
Yes. Yes.
They are?
Yeah, well, Siskel went out a long time ago, and then Ebert had a long cancer battle. He's been gone for a while, too.
Okay. Yeah, love watching it.
Way to bring us down, Raj. Nice going, Raj. Nice Raj. We were talking about cartoons, and then you just made us all sad.
Ooh, that might not be a bad snake. Have we done cartoon families? We've done yeah. So many of these. They all kind of blend together.
I thought
together.
You were going to say top 10 people that have died. I was like, come on.
Well, we could do that,
Travis,
too.
What are you doing?
Top 10 dead guys in history.
We did a fun one, Trav. We did a fun one while you were gone, actually. Music artists that are gone that you'd like to bring back.
Oh, so that's not bad.
Yeah, so Prince, Michael Jackson was on there. No one picked Elvis. Sorry, Travis. No one picked Elvis.
No Elvis?
No Elvis. No Falco. No one picked Falco. Amadeus. I was a little disappointed in that one, but, you know.
Were you really?
Yeah, man.
I decided to go through. See, so Andy Kamenetsky went with a bunch of guys who had already made all their music and they just died, like David Bowie and Prince.
Okay.
I chose artists who died young and so whose best was still ahead.
What about, anybody pick John Lennon?
No
one picked John Lennon.
Okay.
Basically because, like I said, like for me, he wasn't going to make it because he was like in his 40s or whatever when he got shot.
Yoko,
so he'd already
Yoko
made his
him.
Music.
Yeah, Yoko got to him.
Oh, my gosh. So I picked Pac, who died really young. Selena, who died really young.
Yeah.
Did you just grunt at Selena?
No, I just said, eh. That's
disrespectful.
That's
de respeto, amigo. De respeto.
That's so disrespectful. See, I knew that Coco pick didn't come from the heart.
And no, I like, no.
Don't vote for Travis no more, people.
No, Coco, I like. So I couldn't tell you one Selena song. Not a single one.
We play the same song all the time.
And I don't Jorge, know that it's her. I don't know that it's her.
Jorge.
That's my point.
Let's solve this riddle once and for all. Let's drop some Selena on Travis's head.
This is Selena, huh?
Yeah, wait for it. Right. Wait for her angelic voice to perform.
I know, kind of sounds
Lord,
like
Lord, I
Jets.
Can't believe she's gone.
Remember the Jets, LZ? Kind of sounds like the Jets.
The Jets.
I'm so mad at you right now, Raj.
Yeah, there's a band. They were from like...
I'm cutting your mic, Raj.
It was a family.
Yeah, it was a family. Yeah, family band.
It was a family. A family of Latinos. And so Raj just grouping them all together.
I don't think they were Latino. I think they were from some island. No, you have to do some Jets research, Travis.
Oh man. Yeah, I'll go to Jets deep dive later on after we're off the air. I'll come fully prepared tomorrow.
Real talk though, on the Jets. The Jets got it in, man.
Didn't they?
Got it in. They were they had some hits, man. Mm-hmm. They had some real hits.
Well, who knows? Well, maybe I'll get the
being stereotypical.
A snake draft win here. It's been a while, not only because I've been off, but because I never win. So cross your fingers. I got 54%. The Pac-12 football players, LZ, have written a letter and a list of demands to the conference saying this is what we want or we're not going to play football. And this feels different than some of the other ones that we've seen. We've seen players before, certainly not this many, but we've seen players before say, hey, look, this is unfair. We want X, Y, and Z. Usually it has to do with compensation for playing their respective sports. But this is in conjunction with coronavirus, in conjunction with the social protests that we've seen across this country for the last several months. It is in conjunction with the name and likeness issue that has gone through and is now a part of college sports. This one feels like a much more viable situation from the player's perspective to say, this is what we need or we're not going to play. The powers that be, in this case, the Pac-12, they better listen because I think they're on the right side of this argument. And what they're asking for the most part, is very reasonable and not a huge give from the other side.
Well, first of all, it's important to note that several people have come on now on Twitter and to say that Team America is not an animated film. It's puppet. It's not animation.
That's puppets. So it's animated.
It's not me.
See what he's doing, Raj? He's trying to sow discord in my pitch.
You don't want to see him.
You know, you would think.
This is Brian. This is Brian Pena.
You'd be a little more gracious in your defeats.
Brian Pena is the one who tagged you, by the way, Travis. You try to ignore his text. It's tweet.
Well, the next time I'm not a real active social media guy. So, Brian, no disrespect to you personally, but you, LZ, are the one that's broadcasting it to the masses.
Yes.
I'm broadcasting it to the masses?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Me?
Sport. Teaching you. The kids of America how to lose without grace. You need to be ashamed of yourself, LZ.
It's
a family show.
I'm just saying, Nabil Murday, Team America isn't animated, it's puppetry. So it's not just Brian. There's several people who have caught on the Twitter.
See, he's doubling down now. Now he's just bringing it. There's other people.
I'm doubling down. I'm doing what reporters do, which is letting you know what the facts are. And the facts are there's a contingent of people
from the beginning.
who have risen up very much like the Pac-12 athletes and have written a letter on Twitter and have said, you know, Travis is trying to pull a fast one. He's trying to do an okie doke, and they're just letting you know that they see you. That's all.
No,
that's
all. I'm fine. You know. As always, I'm fine. I'm not worried about the people. That's fine.
You don't care about the voters? So you don't care about your constituents? Wow.
Trump doesn't even care about his constituents. Like we said before, if I was trying to pick what they like, I would have done much better in these things. I pick what I like. If they have to like it too, that's great. But if they don't like it, oh well.
Oh, this is not how you come back with this attitude. This is the one they forgave. They forgot about it. You don't need to come back like this. This season, I'm going to go to break, Travis.
Oh, man. Travis ain't never needed a break as desperately as he needed one right now.
I'm sure by the time we come back from break, I'll be behind again because LZ already sabotaged my picks. But what are you going to do?
I'm just telling you what the people have said. And they've tagged you on these questions, and you refuse to answer their questions. And now we know why, because
I'm
you just said you don't care what
them.
They think.
I didn't know that they were – well, I don't. If I'm being perfectly honest,
Go to break.
But, I mean, that's just the way that it goes. I'm picking my picks. If they like them, great, but I'm going to continue to do me. With that in mind, we'll come back. We'll actually talk about what the Pac-12 players are asking for, LZ, as opposed to you continuing your campaign of misinformation. That's next on the
misinformation.
Morning show.
This is Brian.
No, you are perpetrating a falsehood. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. LZ,
Yes, sir.
Have you seen the tomato that's making its way through social media that everybody says looks like Larry Bird?
The Larry Bird tomato? Oh, it looks just like Larry Bird.
It does.
The tomato looks just looks just like Roger's hero. It looks just like Roger's hero.
I don't think it's funny.
It is unbelievable how a piece of fruit can look like a person. And this tomato looks exactly like, you know what it is too? It's the scowl. It's the frown, yes. The dent in the tomato skin that makes it look like a frowning mouth. That's the ultimate Larry Bird mouth.
Oh, with the nose? Oh, it's a wrap. That is straight up Larry Bird. You can't tell me Jesus wasn't bored one day and just said, I'm going to make this tomato and see if anybody notices. He's like, yo, dad, look, they saw the Larry Bird tomato. And God looks and goes, all right, son, let's see if you can make a Serena orange. And now somewhere out there, Serena Williams' face is in an orange and we have to find this orange. Just like hide and go seek.
I saw the headlines like a tomato looks like, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm fine. The headline, you got me. I'll click on it. I'll open it. And I open it like, holy blank. That tomato does look like, and the fact that it's red too really helps because Larry Bird was also in a perpetual state of being flushed, always super beet red face. It's just, that makes you think that there's a higher power messing around with fruit. So there
he's
you
just
go.
Entertaining himself. That's all. I also want to issue an apology to the Jets. I falsely said that they were Latino. They are not
told
Latino.
You. That's what I said.
Where are they from?
The whole island. Right?
You don't get to say, I told you, and then come back with the island.
What island are they from? I was right.
They are from, they are Pacific Islanders.
Thank you.
Which island, I'm not sure.
There's quite a few.
Not appear to be.
Samoa.
There are quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a quite. They might be from the Tonga, actually.
And last thing before you paid this off. But you know whose favorite band that is? Craig Larson's favorite band. There's some useless information our listeners wanted to hear.
Seriously? Is that true?
Kid you not. His favorite band. But no one knows what we're talking about except for you, me, and a handful of other people.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's up, Craig? I mean, now that I know that you're about the Jets, I look at you a little differently.
But sure, we're real talk, though. Crush on You was the jam, though. That was the cut. Yo, Jorge, yes. Can we get some Crush on You? That was
next
the cut,
break.
Man.
We'll bring it in with the next break.
So are the Pac-12 guys going to get what they want, LZ? Are the Pac-12 players, I mean, maybe not down the line, including the 50% revenue split. That's obviously not going to happen. But when we're talking about COVID safety protocols, we're talking about an investment in social justice programs and scholarship availabilities and supporting the causes that they believe in. Do you think that they're going to get what they want with these demands?
Well, I'm curious as to why do you believe that the 50% is a non-starter?
Because you don't go from 0 to 50%. I mean, I think they'll get something, but it just typically that it's these are incremental missions. Like you were talking about before, you know, two steps forward, one step back. That it's usually not half the race forward and then no steps back. They'll get something, but half just doesn't seem like a starting point.
Well, you got to ask for something. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right, Wayne Gretzky?
Sure.
So I'm glad to see them asking big. Because it just lets you know what they think of themselves. They're not coming in humbly. They're not saying, oh, please, sir, can you feed me? I'm hungry. No, they're like, hey, I want some ribeye, and I want some of that, those Brussels sprouts, and give me the good wine, not the cheap stuff. Why? Because they've come to realize that they're not workers in the restaurant. They actually own the majority of it. They just realized they're not just owners. They actually own 51% of it. Why? Because no one's going to any of these stadiums on Saturday hoping to see Nick Saban. No one wants to see Clay. No one wants to see Dabo. They want to see the players. And when you realize that you have that leverage in your hands, it just changes your perspective of who you think you are in this world. I'm so proud of these young people. I really am, man. I'm proud that they have decided not to let this moment die. You know, we saw this weekend, you know, protesters showing up 5 o'clock in the morning at the mayor's house. You mm-hmm. may not want to cover it, but that doesn't mean they're going to stop protesting. And these are, once again, are being led by young people. And here we are seeing an extension of that. And it's been amazing. So I'm not going to say that the 50% is completely out of the question, Travis, because that means we have to accept the fact that 0% was just. And it never was.
No, it never was. It never was.
You're not asking for a favor. You're not asking for a favor. You're not asking for a handout. You're demanding your just due.
Here's the rub. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, but so many of these guys, and especially if we're talking about Pac-12 football, a significant percentage of Pac-12 football players are going to play in the NFL. And to say I'm not going to play, there will be somebody that decides to play. And there will be a next guy, a senior in high school right now, junior in high school, freshman in high school. The next wave of players are coming through. And if they don't get what they want, if they do get pushback and they don't say, I don't know if they're going to shut the whole thing down. And this is the part that's always been, you have to get so many guys to say no, because you know some guys are going to say yes. You know some guys, look, I just want to get to the league. I want to get my money. Your line about planting trees, most people don't want to wait to plant that tree for the next guy. They want their own shade right now. And the shade that's waiting for them is in the NFL and the money that comes along with it. And the only way they get to that point is by performing well in college so they can go and get that NFL money. And to ask them to walk away from it, I'm with them. I get it. But if only a percentage of them say no and more of them play, it's not going to work. That you have to get almost, it's not everybody, but you got to get enough to where the administrators say, we can't play. I'm just using round numbers. If I've got 100 guys on a football team and I got 20 that don't want to play, okay, fine, you're not going to play. We're still going to play. You don't have to be here, but we're still going to play. You need to get over a certain threshold. And I don't know exactly where it is, whether it's half or 40% or something, but you got to get enough people to where they say, we can't put these games on, period. And I don't know if they're there yet.
Well, I don't know if you need large numbers. I really don't. I mean, it wasn't the entire SEC that campaigned against Mississippi to get it to change its flag. It was nothing nowhere near as organized as what we're seeing with the Pac-12 to make a difference, to make a significant shift. I think the important thing with all of this is to remember that this is about the long game. And while it is very true that if the majority of people are going to continue to go on the path that you're on, and that only a handful are willing to try and stop what's been happening, the status quo, it won't be too much longer, Travis, before this whole pendulum thing shifts. It really won't. Kaepernick's protest began with just him by himself 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just him. And sure, you can look at that one person and say, oh, well, that guy's not going to make a difference and the rest of us are standing and this isn't the time for it and blah, blah, blah. And he paid a heavy-ass price for it.
Bingo.
He did. He paid a price for it. But guess what? It didn't take long before the narrative changed. It didn't take long before he went from being vilified to being lionized. It didn't take long for him to go from being America's most hated to a possible Nobel Peace Prize winner. 4 years is a drop in the bucket in terms of time, especially as it pertains to change. So I hear what you're saying, Travis. I hear what you're saying, but call me silly, but I still believe in the principle that if you are able to get one hand to join another hand, to join another hand, to join another hand. Eventually, you're going to build that wall. Eventually. But it starts with that first person. And this is more than just a first person. This is hundreds of people on a Zoom call that wrote a letter to the Pac-12. In a lot of ways, they're ahead of the game. So I'm encouraged. I hear what you're saying with the 50%. And if the 50% was something that wasn't seen as justified or as seen as a reach, then maybe it was a starting point. But this isn't a bunch of young people asking a conference for a handout. This is what they've earned.
I agree with that. I agree with it. They absolutely have earned it, and they are equal partners in this whole thing. But you know as well as I do that they, the other side, not the players, the management side, the conference side, the administrative side, they're not looking at it as an equal partnership. They do not look at it. They may be wrong, but they're not going to go halfway right out of the chute. I mean, think about how long it took us just to get to the name and likeness thing. I mean, it took forever. And the good news, I guess, LZ, is this, is that to your point with Kaepernick, to the point with the name and likeness, these things seemingly take forever to kind of turn. But once they do, the change that comes after that initial moment tends to come a little quicker. That Colin Kaepernick had to wait 4 years before people kind of understood what he was protesting in the first place. That we've been talking about paying athletes for their name and likeness really as long as I can remember. Long before I knew what sports was, they were talking about, hey, these guys deserve a piece of this because they're the ones making this go. And we finally got in 2020 a name and likeness rule where guys can go out and make a few bucks by selling their autograph or whatever that might be. But to go from nowhere to 50 in what is essentially one season seems like a lot. That you're going to get a ton of pushback on that. And I think that the players, because even if the boycott is 50, we want 50% or we're not going to play. If they come back and say, listen, we're not going to give you 50, we'll give you 10. I think whoever you've got on board with this thing right now, a number of those guys are going to say, look, we've moved the ball down the field a little bit. Let's go play football because we've started this. We don't have to finish it right now. We've gotten it started. Let's go play because we've gotten a little bit.
I can see that. I can certainly see that. And that is progress, and I'm not going to poo-poo any progress. I would just say that we have to be careful. We, those of us who have a certain moral worldview mindset with this topic, we have to be careful not to characterize that 10% as a win. We need to make sure that the 10% is still being characterized as disrespect and that this battle will continue on until there is true equity. Mm-hmm. That's what the mindset needs to be. It can't be like, oh, well, we got the 10%. That's good, dog. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, let's keep it moving now. No, if the goal is to be recognized for what you are, no one is satisfied being recognized as 10% of what they are.
All right. Crosstalk with George is coming up next. Did you know? I know this one. LZ even tell me this one's who we're talking about.
This is the Jets, baby.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
From the islands. I knew that.
From the islands.
Exactly.
All of them, according to Raj.
George Sedano joining us right now for Crosstalk. What's going on, George? How you feeling? Oh, he's not there yet. I thought I heard his voice. All right. Well, he's not there yet. That's fine. We can talk more about the Jets.
Let's keep playing some Jets.
Yeah.
Yes, let's keep playing the Jets.
Absolutely.
This was the cut, man.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
What are you talking about? I think this song hit the top three in America, which is pretty doggone good. And it's another family group. So, you know, it's a feel-good story. I just hope they weren't singing to each other because they're family. And if one of them had a crush on one of them, it things would be kind of weird.
That's a different song altogether. That's a different song. That is a very different song. Hey, are you going to give the Dodgers some credit if they beat the Padres tonight? Are you still going to hold your nose at their 8-3 record? Or 8-2 record, I guess it would be at that point. 8-3.
It'd be 8-3. The further we get away from the defeat against the Diamondbacks, the better off I will feel. Because I'm assuming there'll be nothing but W's to cushion that, and then I can begin to forget about it. But right now, it's still too fresh. Two in a row to the Giants at home, and then you lose
a week ago. It was a week ago.
The season started a week ago.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. It was the third and fourth game of the season. It's not like they got blown out. One of the games they lost because they forgot how to run the bases for an hour. They just started running into outs all over the field. That was just early season, just being kind of dumb and underwater to start a season.
Let me just reveal a little bit about my personality, which you may or may not have already known.
Okay.
I'm the one in the relationship who, on Christmas Eve in the year 2027, we'll look at you and go, you remember that time that you got the wrong size t-shirt in 2018 and we had that's me.
So you're basically declaring yourself a bad guy right out of the chute. I mean, on Christmas Eve, that's pretty aggressive, OZ. George is finally here. George, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We
what's up, George?
LZ is somehow trying to find a problem with the fact that the Dodgers are 7-3. Then I'm trying to tell him that winning 70% of your games, I don't care if a couple of those losses came to a bad team. And now LZ's saying he also tells people on Christmas Eve that they got him the wrong gift last time. It's just the picture's starting to come into fuller effect right now.
Yeah, look, man, to your point, Travis, it doesn't matter where the wins and losses come from as long as they come, right, at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to – and in a – well, LZ, in a rivalry situation in baseball, even over a 60-game span, it's not like we're talking about – I mean, it's much shorter than we're used to, but it's still – games are more meaningful, but not that much more meaningful, where if you drop two to a team that's not very good, but yet you beat a bunch of other teams, two of which, by the way, are against a team that are supposed is, you know, arguably the third best team in the entire sport. I think that that works itself out.
All right, real quick, George, we did a snake draft today. It's animated movies. Before we go into the list, your favorite animated movie of all time is?
That one's tough. I would say it's probably a tie between like Toy Story and Aladdin. Aladdin, mostly because I think Robin Williams is amazing in that movie. Mm-hmm. Not because it's just all that groundbreaking. Like Toy Story was groundbreaking, right? Like that was a Pixar film. So yeah, it's either one of those two.
All right. So here are the two lists. Team one is The Lion King, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Inside Out, and Dear Basketball. That's the first team. The second team is Toy Story, The Incredibles, Team America, World Police, and Coco.
George, it's also important to know that Team America is actually a puppet movie. It's not an animated movie. So
And that's why it kind of disqualifies it, even though, you know, even though Coco...
LZ's already starting again with George.
Yeah, but even though Coco... Coco would have swung me, but had you had an actual animated movie, it could have been almost any other animated movie there. And it would have, but yeah, Team America is not. It is puppets. That's different.
It's animation.
I mean,
you just made up a term.
So you came up with bubblist earlier in the show.
I am a bubblist. I'm a proud bubblist. I'm pro-bubblist. I think bubbles are the way to go, the way that the country should be headed towards. But listen, I'm willing to allow Travis to cheat for his win because I have so many that it really doesn't matter.
Man,
I mean, it was close either way. And what was LZ's again?
Lion King, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, Inside Out, and Dear Basketball.
Travis, you would have won if you would have had an actual other animated movie.
No, okay. Honesty time. Had LZ not sabotaged my list by
no, because I immediately thought the same thing already. No, it had nothing to do with LZ.
See? And George, it's not just you. People on Twitter are calling out Travis too for trying to bend the rules to sneak in a victory.
Now, Travis, if you would have gone the Nightmare Before Christmas there, now that is claymation animation, which
What's
would have
difference?
Still. Fallen into the category. It's different. Because the clay is not actually doing the acting in this case. They're using the claymation that they created and then using animation to make them live. Whereas they're actually doing puppets in Team America. Like people are pulling strings.
You basically picked the Muppet Show in an animation conversation.
No. Right.
People are drawing. The people are pulling the strings, but it's still they are bringing life to an inanimated object. It is being animated.
I feel like you're trying to win the Electoral College vote because, you know, the popular vote is going to be my favorite.
No, I like my last explanation. I feel very good about that. With that in mind, the Sedano Show is coming up next. Go vote. It's a puppet animation. We'll see you tomorrow.